So we have meetings for correction. Well, first off, maybe citizens' comments, whether it's in Zoom land, if there's nobody here in person for the agenda.
Jay McFarland is here for the Caledonia item.
So, okay. Yeah. Welcome. So then we will move on. We have no citizen comments for the agenda. Minutes for correction approval for July 5th, 2022.
I'm looking for. I'm good.
And then new business, EDC 2022-48, building permit report for June 2022. Mr. Rios.
All right. In June, we ended up issuing 221 permits. 16 of those were single-family homes, and 9 of those were single-family attached homes. It's a 4-unit townhome and a 1-5-unit townhome. And that 20 commercial permits, fast and growers, right, remodels, and things like that. Just a lot of single-family homes, so we can chug along and happy and blessed to have it.
Yeah, it looks like we were on track, same amount in 2021 at the same time.
Yes.
16, awesome. Anybody have any questions, comments, concerns?
Do you guys think it's going to slow with the interest rates going up?
Yeah, we've heard a little bit. So, I mean, it hasn't reflected in the numbers quite yet, but, I mean, that's what the builders are saying. And definitely mortgage applications nationwide are going down. So, you know, usually we're not too far from that trend.
Right, so I'm saying we're definitely going to see it, but I think we do have, from what I'm hearing from a lot of our builders, especially the bigger ones, is that we're seeing a great benefit from urban flight. Mm-hmm. Well, especially when I was telling you, I was talking to one of their students, said a lot of their new customers are Chi-Wan area, and they're just looking to step back and move out a little bit further out from the city.
Mm-hmm. Ah. All right, moving along. EDC 2022-49, building inspection report for June 2022. Back to Mr. Raiders.
In June, we did 906 inspections. The vast majority of those were single-family homes. We're still outsourcing inspections to BNF Code Services. Trying to look at it as much as possible, but we're still calling, so we can't do a lot of house outsourcing. So.
Questions on that? We're going to be back in a second, so hold on. EDC 2022-50, property maintenance report for June 2022.
All right, in June we heard 12 cases before hearing officer. Standout of these is probably the honeysuckle property. They're from my old fellow's fencing, I'm sure most of our board members are familiar with that one. We're working with them trying to get the community compliance and take care of the property. Other than that, weedsy grass and Carly, decent amount of weedsy grass, but if we were on this committee 10 years ago, this is a lot better weedsy grass report than the, I pulled up old files, I think we had 1,000 citations for about 11 years ago. So this is a big, big improvement from the days we had a lot of subdivisions.
All right, moving along. EDC 2022-51, an economic development report for July 2022. Perfect timing, Ms. Lynn.
There's a lot of moving parts right now in our town. There's a lot of people leaving, people positioning for additional space for their businesses. And so I kind of took a new approach this month when I did the report. I thought, let me kind of separate updates from new stuff, because I think then it'll just make it easier to kind of, first I was kind of doing it by area, I'm like geographic, I'll start north and go south. And now I'm thinking, maybe, do you like this format?
Sure.
New stuff versus updates, that way I can kind of tell you where things are that are moving along. So, and then eventually, hopefully, they open and they fall off. Because when they're open, then you don't have to track them anymore. So, but there's a lot of moving parts right now. All I can say is there's, even today, more of things. So, it's a very good thing to have happen. So, is moving from where they're at right now, over to Countryside, or wherever we're going to call it, Kendall Crossing. They're going over to Heartland, Caldwell Banker, is expanding, taking that whole building. So lots of those types of things that we're kind of seeing. So I don't know if you've driven past Millhurst, but they got their painting done. They can do that without a permit, so they were, because I know they're just trying to get that thing moving. So, but everybody's kind of posturing. They want to get going. They want to get open. They want to start things happening. So all very good indication.
Awesome.
Okay. Chipotle, longest start of all time.
There's a lot going on there every time I drive by, though.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to catch up.
Yeah. More coming, so. So if you have any other questions, Taco Dolly, check out her website. Go and check out her restaurants. She has one in Romanville, Bolingbrook. So she has a real interesting concept. She does margaritas. She does homemade desserts. We have a lot of Mexican restaurants in Yorkville, but she has a different spin.
Okay.
So it's going to be exciting to have a new development happening in the marketplace as well.
Yeah.
Seeing another lock and soul over there kind of marketplace. Well, keep it going. So.
And then the barbecue place over at the
Housing.
That's going to be a big draw. Yes. So, some good things coming.
Yeah.
Okay. Just one thing then. Do you get any feedback? Like, I think with the Bell Tire, it looks like they're going to be big time automotive, not just tires, but car service.
Well, the things they do and the certain things they don't do. Some things they don't really promote, but they do as a convenience to their customer.
I just wondered, like, how Merlin's and Midas and all these other guys, if you get feedback from them at all.
I have not gotten anything from them.
Right.
I think that, you know, that in this world that we're in right now, that, well, it's been an evolution, but everybody's competing with everybody, whether it's Walmart, whether it's Costco, whether it's, you know, if you think about it, like, there are so many places, truly with a tire in their name. I think this is really, other than the...
Well, so people thought that's what...
for a long time, you know?
People, I talked to a couple people, and they were like, well, it looks like it was a mechanic shop, too, and I'm like... It looks like now to me it is, because they painted inside already now.
Yes.
The walls, the interior walls.
I talked to the CFO last week and verified they're going to be opening in September. But like, there are more tires and brakes and struts where, you know, like, they're not going to promote that they're doing. What he told me is, we don't promote that we do oil changes. We do oil changes, but that's like not the bread and butter, you know, so.
I just, because I don't hear from any of these, and I just wonder if you hear from it.
I have not heard
from
anybody. I think they all know that they're all competing in this big ocean.
All right.
Just so you know, Ken, the place is set up as far as the sewer treatment and stuff there. They could convert that into a full-fledged mechanic shop if, like, Bell Tire decided they weren't going to be here anymore. They're going to sell to a mechanic company. When they did the plan for me, made sure they had triple basins and interceptors and everything in place so that it wasn't a major expense. If they did decide to offer more mechanical services, they would really tell me exactly, they would define exactly how much service they would be here.
So I didn't sure. No, I was just more curious if the others already have. They didn't tell me, but I didn't know if they'd tell you.
But like, I think everybody has kind of evolved to the point that because of everybody's driving all over the place, you know, then Walmart does that kind of stuff and Costco and Sam. Does Sam's do that kind of stuff? I don't really know, but. But I know certainly that Walmart does and Costco does, so those are really the ones that, like with television sets, they say more TVs are sold at Walmart and Costco than, you know, the Best Buys of the world, but you still can get a TV at Target, but it's just evolution.
Okay, I was just curious if anybody comes to you.
Yeah.
Any other questions for the Economic Development Report? All right, moving along. EDC 2022-52, Caledonia, Phase 3 request for final plat approval.
So the petitioner is John McFarland on behalf of Caledonia Group. As you mentioned, they're seeking final plat approval to subdivide two undeveloped parcels totaling about 23 acres into 62 lots, consisting of single family homes and a open space. 2016. The city did reduce some fees, building permit fees for the development, with the sunset of November 25th, 2023. The developer is aware of that. Also, that agreement also established that all parkway trees and sidewalk improvements would be the responsibility of the builder. They're aware of that. And that, additionally, the agreement acknowledged that the sanitary sewer connection for the Rockaway Interceptor would be paid in full once this portion builds out, and each lot pays $2,000 per lot of the building permit. Staff has fully supported the final plat. There were some comments made from our original review of it at the July 14th Planning Council meeting. They've addressed those, and this matter will go to the August 10th PCC. I think John McFarland is available if he has anything else to add to staff's presentation.
He's talking, but we're not.
I think you're on mute.
Yep, how's that now?
There you go.
Perfect.
Great, sorry about that. Christy summarized it pretty well. The Nyer Corporation is Catalent Planning. We are the contract purchaser, and we have adjusted the final plat a little bit to current standards. We went through and adjusted the final engineering to some current standards, working with your consulting engineer. And it's, you know, pretty self-explanatory. It was previously preliminary platted, and previously final platted, I think, was submitted and reviewed by the city a number of years ago, as well as the engineering. So it wasn't too difficult of a task just to update things, and you know, we're looking forward to the community. We're assessing whether we're going to start out there yet this fall or next spring. We haven't made that decision yet.
All right, any other questions, comments, concerns? So that goes on to PCC?
Correct, next week.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We are on to the highlight, EDC 2022-32, Urban Domesticated Chickens.
So I thought you were joking, but I guess not. So, urban chickens, from the last meeting, we were given direction to just go straight forward with the Oswego ordinance. There was a copy provided in your packet, but there's hard copies there if you want the Oswego ordinance. The Oswego ordinance basically in the memo shows you the contrast of what we originally proposed and what's proposed now. Globally, the permitted zoning, the aluminum proposed would be in the E1, R1, and R2 zoning. Oswego had it only in their R1 zoning, which is equivalent to our R2 zoning, which is 12,000 square foot lots. So what we are proposing is to include the E1s, the R1s, and the R2s. So looking at about 4,400 parcels or so that would, you know, could qualify. Minimum lot size, 12,000 square feet. Number of chickens, maximum 6 domestic hens. Location setback, rear yard only. Enclosures and the fenced areas shall be set back about 30 feet from any occupied residential structure other than that of the owner, but no less than the minimum setback required for an accessory structure in that zoning district. Sanitation, pretty much the same as what we originally proposed. The structures have to be constructed and maintained in a manner so that they are rodent-free, and that any feed that is available for the chickens must be in a container that's habitated. Enclosure, we are requiring enclosure. The hen shall be provided about 144 square feet of an adjacent outside fenced area, and the outside area should be no less than 32 square feet. Electric services to the enclosure shall not be provided via an extension cord if there's lighting involved. And the slaughtering, again, is prohibited outright that we had proposed, but Oswego has proposed So Oswego's ordinance actually says there's an exception for humane or religious reasons. So if that's something you guys want to revisit, to just add it just outright prohibited, we can do that as well. And then the final two categories that we looked at is that roosters, because of the biology of chickens, you can't tell if it's a male or female until they're about 4 months of age. So we said that you could have a rooster up until 4 months, Oswego just outright prohibited them. And then the permitted permit required, staff had recommended that it would be required to have an inspection at a one-time $25 fee. And then the Oswego is requiring, it didn't mention, it did say that there is an inspection, so an inspection is required, and then they must have HOA approval prior to submitting the permit. I have any questions? I'll be going over anything in more detail.
No, I think they did a pretty good job outlining most of the items on here. I think that we were kind of concerned about for the most part.
Right. Yeah, a couple things. So the HOA requirements. Oswego has that in theirs.
Yes.
And that is there in order to basically not have us verify it. You have to go to your own HOA, get that approval, and then bring. Or is it, were we required a letter, or what do we require? What would we?
So a proof of HOA approval would probably be a letter from the HOA. So they could just attach that to their permit that they have checked their HOA before and that chickens are permitted.
But typically the HOAs will want a permit in the application process before they will approve or deny, unless they can give a conditional approval without the permit. So that's what most HOAs would have to go back. You submit the application without the permit and say, can we get a conditional approval that I can give to the city so that we can get the permit?
Because that's my concern is the HOA is just going to say no. And we don't. What I don't want to get into is it's permitted by HOA, but then the HOA's board just decides we don't want it, we're going to say no. So I don't want to get us caught in the middle of it.
Sure, we don't want to get caught in the middle of it either.
My thought is, yeah. A letter from the HOA stipulating whether it's permitted or not by declarations.
Or a copy of the declaration.
Yeah, that's, I think that would be better than trying to say it's an HOA approval.
Okay.
Because if the HOA wants to get into approving or denying, I would want that next week.
That's going to supersede us anyway.
Exactly.
Or we could not even require any proof of HOA declarations. That would be something that is responsibility of the resident, which is typically how we handle those things now.
Yeah, we don't require proof of.
Because we have some subdivisions, like, for example, Country Hills has an HOA that they never had work. Mm-hmm. There is supposed to be an HOA there, but no one's pointing to it, no one manages it. So, who would they, and that's the issue we run into sometimes on these things. Like, who would we go to get HOA approvals if we don't have an HOA or an HOA has been, you know, null and void? Like Seven Round Ridge is the same thing, where my first house is over there. There was supposed to be an HOA, but there's no common property maintained or something like that. So the first, I think, Mark Rask was the first HOA board member, and he was the only one who ever wanted to be on, so he just didn't let go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But didn't Country Hills show up as one of them that did have language for it?
They may not for a while, it wasn't.
No, I'm talking about in our packet.
So we just went through the declarations that were recorded, whether or not an HOA is active and enforcing those declarations is different.
And the other thing is, in the case of an HOA that doesn't allow them, and somebody still does it, is it going to be, they're just going to get a ticket from their HOA?
Yeah,
or can the HOA ask the officers to come out and do something about it?
So we wouldn't be, we can only enforce our regulations, so if they're not in violation of our regulations, then that would be something that the HOA would need to enforce.
But usually HOAs have their own authorities that they've created.
Yeah, they can write a fine. They can fine us.
That's their.
That's what I thought it would be, how it would work.
Yeah. And then,
So are we changing that section then, or what do we?
So yeah, do you want us to require HOA or just a permit?
Let me rephrase that.
Right.
The nuance is do you want us to hold up our issuance of a permit for conditional HOA approval of some sort?
I'd say no.
Okay.
If anything, we would just ask the applicant to provide a copy of their declarations.
Okay, but then we're going to be in the process of verifying whether that's in there or not.
Are they? We have to verify it, and then we have to see. Well, we don't have to see.
It's more staff time.
Yeah, I don't think that that's warranted for the level of service we're providing.
So, yeah, in that case,
the conditional letter would be better than.
Is this how Oswego is phrased?
Oswego is requiring an HOA letter.
Okay. So I think the gray area of implementation is fine to leave it as submit proof of authorization. If we get a letter from an HOA that says, you know, we've got these regulations, they should be fine, you know, we can accept that as conditional approval. You're just trying to prevent us from issuing a permit in a place where they're outright prohibited, I would assume, more so than...
An argument of where it is.
Okay.
Where they decide that we just don't want to have it, it's not on our books yet.
Sure.
So is it? So would we not have it as HOA approval, but the HOA board has to provide a card that says that they are by their rules? I think that's true.
So here's the liability, I think, issue with staff. Declarations are amended. We don't know if that's the most
Yeah.
The letter.
Yeah. We don't.
We don't require that for fences, though. Why are we requiring it for chickens? I guess that's my point.
Right.
Yeah.
I would just strike that entire thing.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it. I mean, if we want to be consistent, that's true.
Yeah.
We don't do it on
It's administratively more efficient to just, you know, and we can verbalize it like we do with fence permits, like, you know, please check with your HOA.
Yeah, I mean, on the application, it can be large letters.
Okay.
Must check with HOA for...
Yep, applicable regulations.
Yeah,
yep.
Just make sure it stands out. And then the whole rooster thing, I get the 4 months. I don't, either which way, I mean, if we say prohibited outright, you won't know until the 4 months anyway, so
right.
It is what it is.
And let's just say prohibited.
Mm-hmm. Just that makes it very clear that there is no intent of having
it. Because I think the standard is like that. I think it's prohibits roosters. And then if they find there is one, then there's, I want to say it's $100 fine. And then until it's removed, just keep it fine.
Okay, so we'll change it to prohibited. That's what we're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which is what we're proposing.
Okay. But you had a 4 month thing in there, right?
That was what we had previously proposed,
okay.
But we're keeping with the.
If you buy peeps at Pullets, you're going to pay twice as much for the peeps, but Pullets are supposed to be all females. Just so you're aware.
If anyone needs information, go ahead.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's the difference. If you go like the farm service, you'll see Pullets and you'll see Reggae. That means you take a gamble with the other ones.
Oh, really?
There could be roosters in there, 10 or, you know.
Interesting.
And pull, I don't know how they do it. They make DNA testing or something. I don't know how they do it.
Interesting. One other item is the lot size, the 12,000. The one, looking at our map that's in the packets, I think just as it's a rounding error or whatnot, some of the lots that I know are truly 12,000 square feet, mine particularly shows up as not being eligible, but plot-wise it's a 12,000, but I go to the GIS and says 11,000, so it doesn't come up in that. So the 12,000, I get that makes sense, but the one thing that does concern me is when we get into some of the neighborhoods that might have the 500, the 800 square foot lots, those are fine to be out. But when we're talking like 11,500 square foot lot, and there's several of them, we're now getting into some neighborhoods where it's this lot has it, this one doesn't, this one does, this one doesn't. And that's just because the lots are not a consistent 12,000 there was a variability that was approved to those.
You want to make it 11,000?
And that's what...
We could just remove the minimum lot size and just stick with the zoning.
Because if we just do the zoning, that clears that out
completely. Yeah.
Now,
what's the zoning say minimum then?
Well, our zoning says that the lots would be 12,000 square feet. However, we've approved PUDs, annexation hearing, all a variety of applicants that actually create different lot sizes. So not everything, even though this is zone R2, is going to be 12,000. Right. I think some of them are as low as 6,000 square feet.
Right, but the average of the lot sizes were 12,000.
Right.
That's how the PUDs work.
So it's one of those, if we do want to put it in, I'd be probably comfortable around 8,000 or 9,000 as an absolute minimum. Because then, once you start to do the math on what that would be, taking your side yard and rear setbacks, but then we do get, you'll get some of those piecemeal ones that really, it's every other lot. There's no clean way to do it.
Yeah.
But if we just remove the 12,000 square feet, it allows all R2.
Right.
But then I'm noticing even some of our R1 are smaller than our R2 lots.
Well, and you've got 144 square foot not to exceed covered enclosure too, so
right.
You put that in on a smaller lot with all the setbacks, it'd be kind of challenging.
Yeah. So I'd want to take out the 12,000, but if somebody wants to recommend a minimum, I'd be open to that. But the cleanest way is just to remove the 12,000 square foot. I don't know how many other lots fall into that.
So we're taking out the minimum square footage?
I don't know, what do you think, Ken?
Or do you want
to go? They're already too small for me, so.
So then why don't we just bring it down to 11? And that should be less of a concern then, right?
I mean, because 11 is not going to have a lot more lots to that.
That's like a quarter acre.
Yeah, it's basically just taking like a subdivision like ours, yours or mine or Ken's. You know, it's the standard 12,000 is your standard plot.
I have an acre.
Well, you're gonna get an acre.
I do. I get the biggest lot green, right?
Biggest ones.
That's peak.
But yeah, the 11,000 would bring a lot of the sustaining chain. Basically just hanging things up here. I'd be interested to see how it looks with 11,000 as compared to just letting go two. Because I was looking at the zoning map.
Do you want us to rerun that map to count how many lots you're adding between 11 and 12,000? Is that what you're asking for?
Does it really make a difference?
I don't think it does.
I'd rather it just be without the square footage.
I think Ken and I would like it to have like a actual number.
Personally.
Yeah. Do you agree or no? I don't want to talk for you.
You would do what you want to do because.
He's still towards 20,000.
Yeah. Well, this just started going. I was on the edge before, and this is a no-brainer for me.
Okay.
I got too many people with that hunt and have their bird dogs, and somebody next to them a small lot with chickens. That's just kind of.
Well, and that.
I'm going to hear that all time while the dog. We're trying to get the birds.
Well, and that brings me to it says when you go to the first page. The chicken coop permit application requirements for the village of Oswego. When you go 1, 2, 3 down, a copy of the plan of survey of the property indicating where the shelter and fenced area will be located on the property. Fenced area, can we make sure that that's a privacy fence? Because that will eliminate, hopefully, neighboring dogs. Because I think that's one of the big things that I was worried about in the beginning. Because I've heard people saying, well, I can't put my dog outside because it's going to be running up and down and it's going to be a nuisance and barking.
Well, that's what staff had originally proposed, a privacy or solid fence.
Yeah.
Oswego did not define that to be wanting to have.
I would, yeah.
But when we're talking the fenced area, that's the, is it the 32 square feet?
Yeah, the outside area is 32 square feet, and then the covered area is 144.
So when we had our prior one, it was the entire property was to be solid privacy fence.
Right.
When Oswego refers to the fenced area, they're referring to the space adjacent to the coop. So that, if that's the intent, solid, do we want to make it burdensome to where it's the entire property, or it's...
Well, it depends on your HOA, too, because some HOAs will not allow you to have that, because they would consider that could be fenced in the area within an area. They could say that's like a dog room, and they won't allow it.
And so, yeah, you get into some of those, and there are going to be HOAs. If we say that it has to be solid fence for perimeter, Bottom Creek, regardless of if their chickens are allowed, their fencing requirement is the ornamental iron.
Right, you don't see through.
It would not.
There's no privacy fences, right?
Yeah, assuming they would allow chickens, that would.
Right.
And I have someone who has a small lot right next to their house, and I'm just assuming that, okay, let's say they were to get them. They'd have two bird dogs, and then the bird dogs would be, and they got, it's a wrought, it's wrought iron fence.
Yeah, so. And then, yeah.
And I just, it's a headache I really don't particularly want.
Yeah, trying to find a compromise on that one, because that's, if you fully enclose 32 square feet, that's not a whole lot of area to have as a solid fence.
Right.
But if it's, you know, it's obviously set outside of these setbacks, so a minimum of 5 feet from property lines typically. But that's not too far. Like, I'm trying to make it as...
For both sides.
Yeah, but right. You want to make it good. You don't want to allow something that's going to be detrimental to a neighbor, but you also want to make it flexible and easy enough to implement.
Sure.
And that's where the fencing part comes in.
Yeah.
I think that's why Oswego just did enclosure, dispense, and they didn't do any other restrictions beyond that.
So with the enclosure, did the chickens come out of that enclosure?
No.
No.
They're just in that enclosure, and then you can't really see in it.
You can't.
If it works out, most people are just going to do chicken wild.
Oh, that's the enclosure, okay.
That's your enclosure. So you got your coop, chicken enclosure, and most people are going to put a cover on it, so it's completely enclosed, so nothing can come out.
Yeah. But you can see through it. So that's where I have concerns with neighboring dogs. Because that could end up being a nuisance with constant barking dogs. That's my concern. I think that was my concern the original, when it came up a couple years ago.
Another thing, so are these all going to have, we said no extension cords, right?
Correct.
And so they're going to have to be hardwired.
If they want to have.
You have to. What are you going to do in January, December, January,
solar.
February?
You can have solar.
Huh?
You can have solar lighting.
Okay. I know that won't work, so go ahead.
I don't write such
a thing. Some of them might not be able to if there's trees and stuff overhead that inhibit solar, but yeah, I mean, I think it was Sandwich also had that where they had must be permanent electric and they went and inspected it from what I recall.
Because the water will freeze.
Right.
And the eggs will freeze. Even with only 3 or 4 chickens, 5 chickens or whatever, there's not enough body heat to keep that stuff from happening. So, pretty much why I didn't do it at my daughter's place.
It is permanent electric, it's got to be inspected.
Oh.
Yeah, so and since we're straight code, you can do direct burial cable, and if you go under 18 inches deep, you just have to run paint ribbon with it, mark it as a hazard. So you can almost like, just like how you see the internet guys come in and they run that shell cable. You can run it in the ground like that direct burial cable.
Yeah.
And at the very end, you just put a poo turn up, which is garbage, and kind of at the 90 turn up, I guess, thing. Maybe it's as close to temporary as the code allows.
Yeah.
You can actually take it and pull it out of the ground if you're done with it.
Yeah. And it's like electric fences were.
But it's not an extension cord on the ground.
It is, right.
It's in the winter or the summer where you. Yeah, that's a hazard.
People bring them into their garage in the wintertime. Just bring them in your garage in the wintertime. You can heat your garage. And
I mean, on that front, then, do you say privacy fence in the perimeter then? And then that problem solved?
Like to stay away from the perimeter fencing.
I know my biggest concern though is, like Ken said,
they got spaniels, two springer spaniels that you bird on.
Yeah.
The dogs are never a problem too much, but you put birds there because they'll go after a raccoon too, so.
We got dogs that bark at anything for no reason, hours on end.
I don't. These dogs don't. But these dogs go crazy.
For birds.
Got a bird out there. Birds. That's what they're trained to do.
And they'll probably just run back.
Yep. They'll come up and down the... And so the rabbits tease those dogs. And they, because they run through the fences and solid, so they run through, they go up from my yard, because I don't have any dogs or anything. They'll go into the, and then we'll talk about 9 or 10 or 12 rabbits. They'll go into their yard, the dogs will chase them up against the fence, and the rabbits come into my yard because they know they can get away. So just imagine you start putting birds out there with their bird dogs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not saying that I'm getting chickens for it, but, and so it might not be practical in my particular case. Well, I can't control that.
So do you put a privacy, I guess the two questions, privacy fence around the perimeter of the lot or privacy fence around the actual coop and outdoors enclosure so that you don't have to worry about the neighboring dogs? You got to keep in mind, some of these people may have three or four neighbors that, you know, adjoin that. And then those people might feel like they're held hostage because they can't let their dogs out. So then do they have to go get a privacy fence? You know, that. So where does it stop? So I guess that's two things that we would need to figure out. I say we'll go to 11,000 square feet, and I just say privacy fence around the perimeter. I think that would be easy and clean. I think you try to enclose that with privacy fence. I think that's
challenging on a coop to have it solid because, you know, light air, you know, those kind of things.
Right.
The point is for chickens to get out, not just be in the coop
right
all the time. So you want to, you know, light air. 4 foot privacy fence?
I would think that's probably suffice.
Perimeter, just around the...
They can fly a fence, but you're not going to be able to fly it because you're going to have them contained in a coop, so they can't get out of it. Supposedly, they can't get out of the coop to fly up. Otherwise, yeah, they got out in the yard. They're flying over the fence.
If they get out, the hawks have free.
You know, and they're oxygenating too, probably. But
so they got.
I know someone would tell you lost two of them, the hawks. Mm-hmm. They were out 10 minutes.
All right, so I say, what, 11,000 square feet? I say 4 foot privacy fence around the perimeter. Imagine what we have here, and then I would be good with it. Ken would say,
I'm not. Do you agree with the 4 foot privacy fence?
Reluctantly, because it does keep things moving a bit.
Okay.
But I would say move it out of the committee. We have to wait another month to see if closure is on board.
So you're talking about the perimeter fence around the coop has to be minimum 4 feet tall and opaque.
No, this is lot.
Property
lot. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I said reluctantly.
Okay, so. The coop itself can have its own perimeter fence, but then the lot itself has to have an opaque fence. Okay.
What about slaughtering? That was a question. The staff originally said no slaughtering. The hospital says you can slaughter if it's for humane or religious reasons.
I see something with that. I don't see that.
Yeah, I don't see an issue with humane.
I think it's more for eggs, correct?
I mean, that's
if they're egg layers, there's no meat on them, so.
Right, we're not inside.
You don't buy, you buy meat chickens for meat.
Right.
It's totally separate, different type of bird.
The humane issue is if something, if they get injured, you put them down. Or if it's religious purposes, that's what we don't get into that.
Right. So where do we go from here?
Well, you have two choices. You can have the amendments made and brought back next month, or you can move it out of committee even with a neutral recommendation.
I don't want to belabor this anymore. I mean, I think we just make the changes and we move it out of committee.
Ken would have to consent to that under our existing rules.
Okay, so then we got to bring it back in next month.
Bring
it back. Okay.
Okay. Alternatively, any four of you can put it directly on City Council if you'd like.
Correct. So. We all push real quick.
Okay, so just recapping here so we don't forget anything. So we're striking the HOA requirement in there, treating it like we do our other permits. We're making the minimum lot size 11,000 square foot instead of 12,000, and we're requiring a 4-foot privacy fence around any lot that has chickens.
Correct.
Okay. Great.
Is that it, or do we have anything else?
Yeah, no, Jason said, oh, the rear yard, yeah, we've already established the rear yard.
Right, we did have a rear and side yard.
Now it's just rear.
So we'll forego those few lots throughout the city that actually like the side yard of the two homes. Yeah, the middle one, so.
Good.
I mean, that's a quarter acre. 0.253, so that's.
If we get a whole bunch of people to come in and say, I've got a 9,000 square foot lot, I want chickens, we could always predict it. I don't see us having that.
Well, then you might run into a 4-foot fence, privacy fence issue in certain HOAs too.
Right.
So they may have to go higher, so.
Oh,
I mean, there's going to be HOA issues where they're going to, some of our criteria are going to create issues with their HOAs, just due to types of fencing or different requirements that work. So, some of these neighborhoods that might be allowed are going to become not allowed due to other conditions that are in. So that would be that.
All right,
we'll bring that.
Any additional business? We have any additional business? Any other citizen comments? No one here? Everybody in Zoom land? All right, then let's adjourn the meeting at 6:43.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Discussion.